So Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Well, good evening. For those who don't know me, my name's Paul. Hasn't it been a beautiful weekend of spring-like weather? I hope you guys have had the opportunity to get out and enjoy that. Yesterday afternoon, got to about midday, and we just thought, we've got to get out and enjoy this. And so we went up to Yamina, up to the beach up there, and just chilled. So I hope you guys were able to enjoy the beautiful weather we had this weekend. We're right in the middle right now of a series called Together, a Church Practicing the Way. And we're exploring what it looks like for us to practice the way of Jesus together as a community. Over the past few weeks, we've looked at discipleship and worship, and today we're exploring the topic of mission. I must admit that when John asked me to preach on mission, my first thought was, I'm being typecast a little bit, aren't I? For those of you who don't know, my wife Naomi and I spent 4 years in Central Asia up until the middle of last year. And so maybe you're thinking, oh, here we go. You know, Paul's up the front again and he's going to bang on about mission. We've got to listen to this again. But honestly, I'm genuinely grateful for this opportunity, because it's my firm belief that if we are to be a church who practices the way of Jesus, then mission has to be central to who we are and what we do. It's something we've just got to keep coming back to keep leaning into, to keep practicing together. The whole idea of practicing the way of Jesus is that we are apprentices of Christ, that we're to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and to do the works of Jesus. And so I thought we better look at Jesus today. We better look at the life and ministry of Jesus, to look at how he went about his mission when he was on earth, and then to explore what does that mean for us as his followers, as his apprentices here today in this context, as we seek to live out mission together. And so I just want to draw on three particular aspects from Luke's gospel today that really strike me as I read the gospels. And these aren't the only three things we could talk about. But I think they're really important and they should shape how we do mission today. So that's the plan. But let me just quickly pray for us once again. Lord God, we just humble ourselves before you now. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are here with us as we gather. Lord, I just pray that you would speak in and through me as your broken vessel tonight, and that you would shape and mold us to be more like Jesus. Amen. So firstly, I just want to reflect on the holistic nature of Jesus' mission. You know, from the very beginning and all the way through the Gospels, we see that Jesus' mission, it involved both the proclamation and the demonstration of the kingdom of God. His mission was both word, what he said, and deed, what he did together. If we look at this passage here in Luke 4, this event, it occurred right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He'd been in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he'd come back from that, and he returns to Nazareth, the place where he grew up. And as was his practice, he goes to the synagogue, the place of worship for the Jews. He unfurls the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he reads those words there from Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Those words from Isaiah were written some 700 years earlier, and they pointed to this promised Messiah and King who would bring salvation and restoration to the people of Israel and actually the whole world. And so Jesus stands up before everyone there in the synagogue, And he claims, I'm the one you've been waiting for. The time has come. It's arrived. Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, he says. It's a real mic drop moment, isn't it? Boom, I'm here. But what has Jesus come to do? What is his mission? Well, here he says that having been anointed by the Spirit, which we see at his baptism when the Spirit comes on him like a dove, he's here to bring good news, to bring freedom, to bring sight to the blind, to bring the Lord's favor to that place. He is here for the poor, for the oppressed, the blind, the prisoners. This is a description of the special inbreaking of God's power, of God's kingdom into a broken world. Now, no doubt, and we know from the rest of the gospel, that this involves speaking, it involves preaching and teaching and training. And we see here in that text that word proclaim is used 3 times in those short verses. Jesus is going to preach the good news of salvation that comes through him to those who are spiritually blind, to those who are stuck in sin like all of us as human beings are. And ultimately, we know that he takes our sin upon himself when he went to that cross and he died in our place, and then 3 days later he rises again so that all who believe in him will be reconciled to God, can have new life in Christ. But Jesus' mission is not just about proclamation. It's not just about speaking. It's also about setting people free physically, emotionally, and socially. It's about demonstrating justice and peace and love. People, we're not just souls to be won. We are integrated wholes, people made in the image of God. Now, how do we know this? How do we know that that passage isn't just talking about spiritual matters? Well, we've just got to keep reading on in Luke's gospel. Look at verses 40 to 44 of chapter 4. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. So we see here, in just this little snippet, that it's word and it's deed together. And if we keep reading on, we see that, yeah, not only did he teach, not only did he preach, but he spent time with, he ate with, and brought freedom to sinners, to tax collectors, to the physically unwell and disabled, to those who were marginalized in that society. His ministry involved countless miracles of healing, of feeding the hungry, driving out demons, raising the dead even. The list could go on. I mean, just think back to that story of the paralyzed man who is brought to Jesus on a mat by his 4 friends. What does Jesus say to him? He says, your sins are forgiven, but so that you know that I have authority, be healed. And he heals him. It's word and deed together. So Jesus sees the pain, the needs of those around him, and he enters into their broken world and offers them holistic transformation. So, if we're going to practice the way of Jesus today in mission, then we need to recognize that our mission shouldn't be any different. It should involve word and deed, proclamation, demonstration, evangelism, if you like, and social action. Just as Jesus did, we need to see people as whole, integrated people, not just projects to be moved from column A into column B as far as their belief is concerned. Darabok says this in his commentary on Luke 4. He says, the church's call is but an extension of Jesus' mission. Values reflected in this mission should be reflected in the church's outreach. You know, I think this is really important because it's when word and deed come together in mission that it has true power, authenticity, and integrity. If we're completely preoccupied with telling the world that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son for them, And yet we're not willing to show that same kind of self-sacrificial love in our actions with those we're sharing with, then how do you think those words are going to sound? They're probably going to sound pretty empty and without substance, aren't they? But if people observe God's love in action through us as a community, then suddenly those words actually have some meaning and some authenticity. But on the other hand as well, I think it's also true that we shouldn't simply show love and care for those around us with actually without giving reason for why we're doing that, what motivates us. We need to recognize people do have spiritual needs as well as the others as well. We should always be ready to give a reason for that hope that we have in Jesus, as Peter says in one of his letters. David Bosch, he says, unexplained actions do not in and of themselves constitute the mission of God's people. So it's very much that both and type situation. Okay, so what does that mean practically for us as a church if we're to follow Jesus in his footsteps in mission? Does it mean that every interaction that we have, we've got to kind of try and make sure we've got this word aspect and this deed aspect, that they're all together each time we do mission? Well, no, it's not quite that simple, and we don't need to be so pedantic. But as individuals and as a church community, both these things should be evident in our lives. Will was sharing to us about David and Kaz and what they're doing in Southeast Asia. And I think you probably kind of caught on to the fact that it's for them, it's both word and deed as well. And that's the case with all the Baptist Mission Australia teams that are serving throughout the world. It's about building relationships, about learning language, it's about sharing the gospel in ways that make sense to the local people. But also, it's about demonstrating the love of God and meeting people's needs in those places. You know, if I thought through the different teams that we have serving around the world, there's all kinds of things that people are doing depending on the context. It can happen through showing God's love, can happen through teaching English, through providing, you know, food and blankets and medical needs in the midst of crises, through training and educating local people so that they can find better work, through working with local people on creation care and sustainable living initiatives, through disability and literacy training, through prayer ministry and healing ministry. The list could go on. I don't know about you, but as well as being a place where the gospel is preached, where the Bible is taught, and where people can encounter the good news of Jesus, I also want to be a church that has that similar reputation for loving and caring for our community, for those around us, for those in need. And you know, there are things that we are doing, and there's ministries that are happening here that do show love to the community around us. I mean, one great example is Kids Games that happened only a few weeks ago. That was just a wonderful time of showing love to this community. And it was a privilege for Naomi and I to be a part of that for the very first time. And just to see the impact that that had on the people in the community, how they just valued what we were doing as a church. But I guess the challenge for us is just to always remain open to what new things God might want to do in and through us in this place. You know, let's seek God and discover together how is he leading us to mission here in this context through both what we say and what we do. Let's love people as whole people as a community. Second thing I notice from Luke's gospel is that Jesus carried out his mission in community. And he did it in cooperation with others, in particular with his disciples. And I was thinking about this, and you know, if Jesus, who is the perfect Son of God, who is actually capable of doing everything on his own, if he chose to do mission in community, to carry out God's will for his life in community with others, then surely we need to follow suit, right? We need each other. Mission isn't something that we can do alone. Immediately following the events of Luke chapter 4, at the beginning of chapter 5, Jesus, he goes to the Sea of Galilee and he calls out to Simon Peter and his mates on the fishing boat and he says, "Drop your nets and follow me." He says that they will become fishers of people, which means they're to join him in his mission to bring people into the kingdom of God. In the following verses and chapters, Jesus goes around and he calls others, Levi the tax collector, the other 12 disciples, other men and women, to listen from, to learn from, to follow him in mission. And then after a significant period where they watched and they learnt and they didn't have it all down, but Jesus then sends them out together. We read this in Luke 9. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. But he doesn't just send those 12. A chapter later we read that he sends out 72 others. And he sends them out in pairs to go into all the villages and places where he's about to head. And he says to them, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And these 72, they go out together and they preach that the kingdom of God has come near. They call people to repentance. And again, they heal the sick in those places. They're living out this holistic mission that Jesus himself lived out. But the point is that Jesus didn't do it alone. He empowered others to work with him in his mission. He sent out the 12 together. He sent out the 72 in pairs. They didn't go alone either. And afterwards, they no doubt came back together and celebrated what God did in and through them. I may have said this previously, but one of the more challenging things that my family and I, that we faced when we were in Central Asia, was the fact that on the most part, we actually didn't have a bigger team that we were a part of in that place. For various reasons, people left not long before we got there, and after we got there, people had to leave. Maybe it was something about us, I don't know. There were others who wanted to join, but they couldn't get there. And so for most of the time, we were the only people with Baptist Mission Australia in that particular context. And can I tell you from experience that endeavouring to engage in mission alone, it's not an easy thing. And when I say alone, we're not really alone. We've always got God with us. And Jesus is with us in the power of his Spirit. But it's not the same when you don't have a team around you. You know, we did have support from afar, from folk here, from our organisation. We did know some others who were working in that local context with other organisations. But it's not the same as being part of that team. It's working towards the same goals, who's supporting and encouraging one another and keeping one another accountable. And it dawned on me this week just how privileged we actually are as a church here in Thornlea, that we can be part of such a large church community and have so many co-workers in the gospel in this place. Have you ever thought of yourself as a co-worker in the gospel or as a missionary? Don't love to use that word, but that's what we all are as followers of Jesus. And so we have this amazing opportunity to work together and embrace God's mission here, just as the disciples did back in Jesus' time. And I honestly believe that if we do that, that God will work in and through us in ways we don't even expect. Just as an example, I wanted to share a story about Rose, who's a lady that goes to our 9:30 service, and she's currently doing the ministry apprenticeship program. Rose volunteers at a food distribution centre in Hornsby, and in March this year, she met a Chinese lady who just had a chat with her and just wanted help with learning English. Rose is of Chinese background herself, and so she can speak Mandarin. And so Rose offered to meet with her on a weekly basis, and said that she could invite others as well, not really knowing what would kind of come of all this. Within 3 weeks, there were 10 mostly older Chinese men and women that were sitting around a table up in Hornsby with Rose trying to figure out, how do I help this many people learn English? And at this point, I've been kind of chatting with Rose about it, and so I started going along with her. And for the past 3 months, we've had 7 or 8 people that have joined us in that group. Or really, we've joined them, actually, in that place. And, you know, it's been a real privilege just to be a part of this living, learning community where friendships are growing and we're able to build relationships with this little group. One of the things I've been most encouraged by from what's happened here is that Rose's life group have actually been willing to partner with her in this as well. Through some conversations that Rose and I were able to have with the group, We're able to share about our church, share about our faith. I was able to share a little bit about why we went to Central Asia ourselves. And a few of the group wanted to explore things further. And so Rose, she checked in with her life group, told them about this situation, and they were just happy to invite them into their group life. Even though that was going to be a real challenge because their English is really, really limited. But since then, two women from this group have been going on a regular basis to this life group, and they're exploring the Bible together. Now, the group have had to make real sacrifices in order to make this work. Translation needs to happen. Thankfully, they've got some people that can do that. And they're really still trying to figure out how's the best way for this to work for everyone. But I just think that's a beautiful example of a group of people coming together, working together to love and care for people and also to share their hope in Jesus. You know, it's my prayer that in a variety of ways we would see more of that kind of missional engagement in community happening here at TCBC. Of course, not every life group is going to be able to do that, but we all have different connections, we have different gifts, and we can work together to make a difference for God's kingdom and for those who don't yet know him. I think the wonderful thing is that as we participate together in mission, that actually that draws us closer to one another and closer to God as well. It in itself promotes discipleship and a deeper relationship with Jesus. All right, so Jesus' mission is holistic. It was carried out in community. And finally, I just want to touch on the fact that Jesus' mission is both local and global. It encompassed all nations, and therefore the mission of the church today should be the same. If we jump forward in Luke's gospel to the point where Jesus meets the disciples after his resurrection, we read these words in Luke 24, 45 to 49. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is probably all pretty familiar for us, right? We spent the first 6 months of this year studying Acts. But Jesus tells the disciples that they're to continue and they're to carry out his mission. They're to wait for the reception of the Holy Spirit, which they receive on the day of Pentecost, and then to go. But they're to be witnesses, firstly, in Jerusalem, which is where they had been based this whole time. So they're to first be local, and then they're to go to the nations. And later in Acts 1, verse 8, we hear that Jesus says, "You are to be my witnesses through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, that word mission, it literally means to send and to be sent. A mission is at the very heart of who our triune God is, God the Father, Son, and Spirit. God the Father, he sent God the Son, Jesus, into our world to become one of us. God the Father and God the Son, they send the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and still today the Holy Spirit is in the hearts of each of those of us who follow Jesus. Our God is the sending God. He's the sent God. He's the God of mission who is active and alive and at work in our world. But he also sends us. He chooses to use us to carry out his mission on this earth, both in our local community and in the broader world. And so, what is the application of this point for us here today? First, I do want to say that I think it is still right and it is still good for us to be supporting and sending intercultural workers into various contexts around the world strategically. This has been part of this church's DNA since its inception, and we continue to support a significant number of intercultural workers in various contexts with various organisations. Some of you might think that point's fairly obvious. Yeah, okay, we're going to keep doing that. But actually, I think it's important because there are growing questions around the validity and the viability of sending intercultural workers from places like Australia to other countries. Given historical issues related to colonisation, I think there are some valid questions that we need to be asking. But I don't think we should throw the baby out with the bathwater. My belief is that we should continue to strategically partner with organisations and intercultural workers who are seeking to proclaim and to demonstrate the gospel in culturally sensitive and appropriate ways, particularly in contexts where there's just little opportunity for people to encounter Jesus in any way. You know, let's ask God to raise up more workers from both within this community, as has happened before, but also from outside as well. I still think this is a really important way for us to practice mission today. And just on that, I just want to give a really quick little plug for a course that our organisation is running. Nath Reed's running it this coming 6 months. There'll be 12 sessions, six in term three and six in term four, looking at mission, at global mission. And so if you are at all interested in learning more, be it you're curious or you're actually really thinking maybe God is leading you in this direction, please come and chat to me afterwards and get some more details. It'll be over Zoom on a Monday night for about an hour, hour and a half or so. So if that's something you're interested in, please touch base. The second point I want to make here is that the mission isn't just about sending people overseas and supporting the work that's happening out there. Traditionally, perhaps that's how mission was seen. It was seen as missions, be it short-term missions or long-term missions. But that's just one aspect of it. If Jesus' mission, if it's both in Jerusalem and to all nations, for us that means it is both here in Thornlie, Normanhurst, Wesley, Hornsby, wherever you live, and it's also throughout the nations of the world. And so that means I think it is important for us to consider how is God calling us to engage here. And as part of that local mission, I believe that we should be thinking about how does that work for us to engage in intercultural mission here. I've said it before, the nations truly are here. Our community is changing and we have this amazing opportunity to embrace all people, no matter where they're from, to love them and to introduce them to Jesus in all we do and all we say. And so with this in mind, I just want to explain to you there's six boards at the back over there and over to the side here. And these are the fruit of a gathering we had here on Tuesday night. We had about 50 people come along to the church, and we broke up into different ministry areas, as well as having a group talking about new initiatives. And we would just spend some time discussing how God has shaped and molded each and every one of us. What are the passions and the gifts that He's given us? And we talked a little bit about some of the assets that He's blessed us with as a church. And with those things in mind, we just started to dream and think about ways in which God might be calling us as a church to reach out to and to welcome in people of diverse backgrounds in this place. You'll see if you go and have a look, different groups got to different points in their discussion. But I just really want to invite you tonight to go and have a look at these, to go and read some of the ideas that we've come up with. But in particular, if you have thoughts, if you have ideas that you want to throw out there, then please, there's some post-it notes, there's some pens on the tables there. Please grab a post-it note, write something down and stick it up at an appropriate spot on the board. Actually, it can be anywhere. It doesn't even matter where it is. Because we just want to invite you to speak into this. If God has laid something particularly on your heart, we want to hear about that. And then with the leadership and with the pastoral team, we want to kind of discuss, well, where is God leading us in this? And what are some small ways in which we can be investing, but maybe with some bigger things that longer term that we can be looking to? So that's just an invitation for you to participate in that process as a bit of an outworking of us exploring intercultural mission here locally. There's so much that you could say about mission, and what I've picked there is just a small part, really, of what mission is all about. But my prayer is just that together we would be a church that practices the way of Jesus in mission, that we would embrace holistic mission, that we'd be a church who proclaims the good news of Jesus, but who also demonstrates His love in what we do and how we engage in our community. I pray that we do that in partnership together as we support and encourage one another each step of the way. And finally, I pray that we would follow Jesus in His mission, both here locally and globally, recognizing that all people are loved by God, and all people deserve an opportunity to get to know Jesus and to know His love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just come to you now in prayer and just firstly want to humble ourselves before you and say that we are so grateful and thankful that you entered into this world and you showed us what it looked like to truly embody the kingdom of God. But not only that, you gave up your life for our sake. You took our sin and shame and guilt upon yourself and you set us free from that and from death. And Lord, you rose again that we might have new life. But Lord, we thank you that you loved people for who they are holistically. And you cared for them holistically. And Lord, we thank you that you showed us what it looked like to do mission together through the disciples. But Lord, we also just give you praise that the mission wasn't just to happen just there in that place, but it was to spread to the ends of the earth, which is where we find ourselves today. And if it wasn't for people being obedient in that, we wouldn't be here. So Lord, I just pray that as a church, you would empower us, you would guide us, you would help us to be your people in this place, to be a people who partner with you in your mission to redeem and to restore all nations and all creation. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen.